Welcome to Dollars and Cents for College Students, a multi-part podcast series that gives college students the knowledge and tools to handle their financial situation during and after college. Your host for this program is Professor Frank Longo of Centenary University School of Professional Studies. Please note that before making any financial decisions, please seek sound financial advice from a financial professional. And now, here is your host, Professor Frank Longo.
Hello, and welcome to Dollars and Cents for College Students. Today, we will devote our session to graduates, the class of 2020. Congratulations and best wishes to you all. Your senior year took a most unpredictable turn. College life was turned upside down. You traded your dorm room for a room at home. Instead of meals with friends, you had meals with your families. Classes were still held remotely and online. In the midst of all this upheaval, there is a lesson. Life can change in an instant, and the changes can be substantial. The point is to be ready for anything. Be prepared and adaptable. Years from now, you may look back at these days and cherish the time you spent with your families. You may actually have a closer bond with your friends because you learned how to stay close in relationships, even though distances kept you apart. To those who have personally experienced sickness, death in the family, or friends because of the pandemic, I am truly sorry for your suffering. Graduation was going to bring about many changes to your lives. New jobs, responsibilities, burdens, including bills to pay, and of course, student loans. They all change your lives. COVID-19 has magnified all of these, but there is a silver lining. Graduation and the pandemic also provide you with great opportunities. Our country, more than ever, will need creative and innovative solutions to the many problems we face. You can be part of the solutions. How you approach the new life you are beginning? Well, I would say be calm, thoughtful, and purposeful. Let's go back to the lesson that life can change in an instant. Rather than reacting to change, emergencies and opportunities, I suggest that you prepare for them. Be ready, plan for your life. Every life plan to be effective must include a financial plan, and every financial plan should include a budget. Successful businesses use these, and you, as you go out the business of your life, your first financial action should be to prepare a personal balance sheet. This is simply a list of everything you own along with its value. This includes savings accounts, savings bonds, the value of your car if you have one, and other personal items. Subtract from that list your debts, everything you owe, such as student loans. The result is your net worth. You could ask, why should I do this? I don't have much. Prepare this so you know where you stand. It will be a record of your starting point. If your net worth is negative, you owe more than you own, and you need to change this so you can not only have a better financial life, but a better life. This lets you know if you need to act and make changes. You should do this once per year. The best time is likely tax time in the spring, March, or April, and that is because at that time, you need to gather financial information to prepare your taxes. Next, establish an emergency fund. This is money kept in a savings account or a money market account. It is available to you at a moment's notice to help you pay for an emergency. Try to save about $500 as quickly as possible. Eventually, you should have about 6 months of living expenses saved for emergencies. COVID-19 taught us a valuable lesson about emergencies. Please be prepared. Let's talk about the budget. Simply stated, it is a list of all sources of money and the amounts. In other words, your take-home pay from your job minus a list of all the uses of money, your expenses. The goal is to understand how much money you have coming into your life. This should guide how you spend it. If you have a job, your income starting point is your net take-home pay, the amount of cash you actually receive from your job. This is what you have available to spend. And this brings us to an important point. If your employer offers a 401k plan, a retirement plan, it is essential that you participate immediately. You can opt out. You can choose not to participate. but that is not wise. In a 401k, you contribute a percentage of your salary. You choose how much, subject to limitations. Many employers offer a matching feature. They will also contribute to your plan a specified percentage of your salary that matches your contribution. For example, an employer will contribute 5% of your salary to the plan. If you contribute 5%, that matching contribution is essentially free money for you. Think of it as a retirement bonus. Both your contributions and your employer's matching contributions are tax deferred. This means you don't pay taxes on it until the future when it is withdrawn from the plan, hopefully many years from now when you are in retirement. This money is invested on your behalf, and gains on your contributions are also not taxed until you withdraw them at retirement. Another important point, your 401k reduces your current tax liability. Remember, the earlier you start your retirement plan, the more time you have to grow retirement funds. You should carefully review your 401k options with your employer's plan administrator. They will help you choose your investments based on your age, acceptable risk, and other factors. The main point is to start 401k immediately upon your employment. The expense portion of your budget is next. The recent college graduate has a major decision to make, especially in light of today's uncertainty. Do you live at home? I mean, with your family. Get your own apartment or seek a roommate. Many grads live at home until they feel financially secure. This can save a great deal of money, even if you contribute to household expenses. The location of your job may eliminate this option. If it does, rent and utilities are usually large budgeted items. In preparing your budget, the rent you include should be an actual amount as it is contained or listed in a lease. A leasing office should also be able to provide you with a reasonable estimate for utilities. Place these on your budget list. Student loans can also be budgeted at the exact amount. If you qualify to defer payments or to pause payments, be sure to include in your budget your required payments at the appropriate starting date. Food costs can be estimated by using the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture website, for average cost based on your location. You can also refer to your family as a good source of estimates. Transportation costs, they too can be easily calculated if you use public transportation. If you have a car, you likely have an idea of what it costs you to run that car, but be careful to allocate for maintenance and repairs. Regarding clothing, entertainment, and general living expenses, make sure you include all purchases and expense items that you can reasonably expect to incur. It is best to periodically compare your actual expenses to your budgeted amounts. Updates should be made so you can recognize sooner rather than later if your expenses are significantly more than anticipated. Another very important item is debt. If you already have credit card debt, credit card balance, interest accrues on that balance and it further increases your cost. You need to pay this debt off as soon as possible. Rates on this type of debt can be as high as 20 and 25%. This type of debt should be budgeted for repayment. It should be a priority. As I said, it adds to the cost of everything you have already purchased. Debt and credit cards can be an important part of personal finance. Both, if carefully used, can destroy financial lives. I like to compare debt to drugs. Drugs, when used properly, can save lives. They allow people to do things they could not do without them. They help them control blood pressure, cholesterol, pain, and numerous ailments. But if used to excess or not when truly required, they can be deadly. Similarly, debt can allow people to do what they couldn't do without it. For example, most people could not buy a house without a loan called a mortgage. The key is to borrow no more than you can reasonably repay. The same principle applies to borrowing to purchase a car. Let's concentrate on credit cards. They help you establish a credit history and a credit rating, which is crucial for borrowing for the large purchase items like homes and cars. Having a credit card is an important part of personal finance. It allows you to make purchases today and not have to pay for them for often more than a month. Reward cards, those that give money back based on your usage, effectively reduce the cost of your purchases. For example, let's assume you have a credit card that gives you back 3% of the money you spent on groceries. This refunds you money spent on a necessity, something you had to purchase. It is found money, and it adds up over the course of a year and over the course of many years. You can save or invest this money, and over time, the amount it generates can be significant. I would suggest that any savings you have from these types of accounts be placed separately and saved or invested. Some additional credit card suggestions. You likely need 2 credit cards. This gives you a spare, so to speak, to use if there's a problem with the other card, if you lose it or there's some other issue. You should use cards that don't require an annual fee and cards that offer money back on your purchases. Cash returned to you can be much more valuable than points earned that can only be used for certain purchases, such as airline tickets. The key point to credit cards, use them only to purchase items that you can pay for in full when the payment is due. If you cannot pay your credit card bill when it's due in full and you can't afford the item you're purchasing, do not carry balances and incur interest costs. This just adds to the cost of your debt and the cost of your purchase. If you decide to share an apartment with a roommate, you should still prepare a budget. Sharing expenses can save a lot of money if you both have a similar vision for spending money. Taking on a roommate is like entering into a partnership, and they can be tricky. The key to success in the roommate situation is to communicate both before and after you begin sharing space. Anticipate areas of potential disagreement and discuss them. Before signing a joint lease, be satisfied that each party understands their own responsibilities and that each has the financial ability to pay their necessary expenses. Your budget will indicate if you have money left over after paying expenses. If you do, please establish and maintain the habit of saving and investing. It will make your life better. In another session, we will discuss the finances for college grads who don't yet have a job, and we will discuss large purchases such as cars. Until our next session, please be calm, thoughtful, and purposeful.
You have been listening to Dollars and Cents for College Students with host Frank Longo. The opinions on this series are those of the host. Before making any financial decisions, be sure to consult with a financial professional such as a certified financial planner. For more information, visit cfp.net.